Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Candace Parker is along with us tonight.
And moments ago, Kristen Ledlow.
Parker, what a look inside.
Kristen Ledlow is on our sideline
with the terrific Candace Parker.
I'm Kristen Ledlow.
I'm Candace Parker.
And this is Ledlow and Parker. Welcome into Ledlow and Parker. We follow a league. You play in a league. All of it is driven by social media. So why not have an episode entirely driven by social media as well?
Let's do it. Let's do it, Kristen.
The pros, the cons, the highs,
and the lows. The eggs, the fake accounts.
Yeah. The trolls.
The funny teammate exchanges and Twitter beefs. We going there?
I think we are going to go
okay,
there.
Let's do it.
We have to, because we've got the king of NBA Twitter coming up. He's also a number one New York Times bestselling author. I think more than once. I'm sure he'll clear that up as soon as he gets on the phone. But Shea Serrano is coming up. But first,
That's what we said.
Nice.
Yeah. I will handle it with dignity and class.
You certainly messed up a lot more than I did.
I think all of us just want to leave the league better than we came into it.
And that's what we said.
That's what we said. Twitter seemed to be somehow the sixth man of the league this past week. We had Katie and Kendrick. We had Jimmy and TJ. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I really was on. I get on Twitter every now and again. I'm more of an Instagrammer, but I will say I did get on Twitter for Jimmy and TJ.
Right.
Yeah. Because, well, I feel like we had a hand in it because, you know, he was our guest last week. So maybe some of that was driven.
We got him riled up.
Yeah, we got him riled up. He was ready for the game.
That's a fair point. Let me ask first, though, as a professional athlete, how the relationship between the athlete and the fan has changed because of this social media culture we've created.
A lot of it has changed. You know, it's a gift and a curse that I think the NBA has been at the forefront of in terms of you want to get to know your players, and it helps the league when you get to know your players. But also, where is the line in getting to know the players? Because it allows everybody with an internet connection, an account, or a cell phone to be able to, at some point, have access to you.
As our Hall of Fame teammate Charles Barkley has said on several occasions in his day, you used to have to do something to earn an opinion. Now any fool with a phone has one, and you have to see it.
I can hear him say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Let's, though, listen to a couple of guys who I would argue the narrative surrounding their careers have been built up or brought down by NBA Twitter. Here's both Steph Curry and Draymond Green.
Hashtag NBA Twitter is the best place to be when a game's going on, or even if a game isn't going on. It's pretty much 24/7. You know, jokes and memes and just keeping up with the latest, you know, happenings around the league. It's a great time to be an NBA fan right now.
To me, it's just a bunch of people who don't usually know what they're talking about running and always with something to say and probably can't even make a layup.
Whether you love it or hate it, there were 240 million tweets about the NBA last season, making it by far the most tweeted about league. So again, the narrative surrounding careers have been brought up and built up and brought down by the one that's being created online.
Well, you said it earlier, Steph Curry, his career, obviously, he's the babyface assassin, and what's not to love about him, the way he plays, and in meeting him and knowing him, he's such a great individual.
Right, right.
So
but
you can see how he can benefit.
You have
that.
The chance to meet him and to know him. I do too. Those who are following him don't.
Well, they don't, but because of the internet,
yes,
they do.
You feel as though you do.
And that's the thing is, you know, who doesn't remember the press conference that he did with Riley?
Yeah.
And that kind of was, you know, the moment where he went from, oh, he's a great player, to stardom,
yeah,
crazy franchise.
Solidified himself as a superstar.
Exactly. And I love seeing those moments. Like, I love seeing Kyle Lowry this week falls out,
yes,
you know, on the sideline, kisses his son on, you know, and then runs back on the court. I mean, I love seeing that. And because of Twitter, you're able to see it over and over and over again. And on social media, you're able to see it over and over and over again. But there are negatives to it, as Draymond is, yeah, definitely devil's advocate.
Yeah, let's go into some of those, because I would imagine that the narrative surrounding your career has been shaped several times based on public opinion.
Yeah, it has. And I think sometimes when you don't use a platform to help shape the narrative, it can kind of backfire. And at times I have decided to remain silent, and sometimes your narrative is formed for you. And so I think although it does give, you know, individual players a platform to express the way that they really feel without having to go to a reporter as in the past, but it also, as we've seen, sometimes catches your not as good moments on, you know, so everybody can see. And that's not who you really are. It may have been just like Kevin Love through a tantrum, and that has been replayed over and over and over again.
Right.
I'm just saying there's some moments that you want to relive, and then there's others that you don't. That's something that we saw in the past, in the couple summers ago with Kevin Durant, when we found out that he had another account on Twitter.
He's the perfect example. How many do you think will be hesitant to include Kevin Durant? Undoubtedly, when you look at what he's done and accomplished on the court, how many will be hesitant to include him in that greatest of all time conversation? Because the perception is perhaps insecure or feels the need to respond or whatever it is because of his social media presence.
I don't know if I'm, there's no doubt that he's one of the greats for me. And honestly, I think Michael Jordan would say it himself. He's probably thankful that there was not social media during the era. I mean, honestly, think about how excited everybody is about seeing the Bulls and, you know, reliving that moment. Can you imagine if that would have been during, I mean, it kind of taints the way, I mean, we can even go outside of basketball. I'm a JFK. If he tweeted like Trump, I probably would not like him as much as I do now.
Anyone who has sat in that office, if they were able to pick up a device,
we would not
to send out a message to the, it would become far more divisive. But that's what we've seen in NBA Twitter as well, because it's not just the fans who are allowed to have opinions on players that they're watching play. It's that players fire shots back.
But sometimes, I mean, my grandma used to say, from a distance, what is it? You can't tell who is who when you're fighting an idiot. You can't tell who is who.
Right, yes.
And so
when you're watching
start,
a fight from
exactly,
a distance.
From a distance, you can't tell who's who. And I mean, Jay-Z made it into a song, but my grandma said it first, Jay. Anyway.
She'd like royalties
she said
as well.
She said it first. She'd like royalties. But I think it's true. There's some people on Twitter that I have to respond to because it's just downright disrespectful and it deserves a back off remark. And then there's some that you look on their page and you're like, you know what? If this was the highlight of your day, I'm going to give it to you. And I would like some NBA players to kind of use that discretion.
One of the things that I've loved, though, about it is that we've gotten to see athletes more so as people than as players. You have the opportunity now with a platform, and it's not just you all as athletes. It's any of us who are working in a public position. You're given now a platform to stand for something, you know, to rally for causes that are just, to be a voice for those who have been previously voiceless. And we've seen so many athletes decide to do that as well.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of positivity that comes, but I do want to make this remark. LeBron was 18 when he came into the NBA during a time where your entire life was on display from the time that he graduated, even before he graduated high school until now. And in 17 years that he's played in the league, under scrutiny, under a microscope, under all these things. I don't know many superstars that would be able to be in this, in the position that he's at with social media.
Oh, I've said the same thing countless times. It's stunning when you could look back on the entirety of his career and think the biggest mistake he made was perhaps putting on a show to announce where he was going to go play in free agency. It's stunning. Think about how many in that conversation among the greatest to ever play the game would perhaps not be there anymore because of the perception of the public.
I mean, kudos to LeBron. I don't know many people that could live like that.
LeBron undoubtedly has impacted, if not forever changed, lives because of the power of social media. And another who has as well, starting with his own, and helps lead the conversation week in, week out, day in and day out, is Shea Serrano, and he's on the phone next.
Shea Serrano, author,
sports and pop culture genius.
What's crazy is I am a professional basketball writer. That's my job.
The guest on the line, Candace, has a resume as long as yours. And I don't know that we've had a guest on the line that has a resume as long as yours. A number one New York Times bestselling author. He's laughing because he knows we had Kobe also. But his newest book is Movies and Other Things. He's also the author of Basketball and Other Things, the Rap Yearbook. He's a staff writer for The Ringer, the host of one of my favorite podcasts ever, The Villains Podcast. Shea Serrano, how are you?
What's going on?
Thank you so much for joining us. We have to start it this way. How is it that you go from full-time middle school teacher in Texas to a number one New York Times best-selling author and on our podcast?
I would list being on this podcast as my number one accomplishment.
I love that.
We should
start there. We're going to clip that, you know, and it's going to be now the advertisement for the show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
this all sort of happened just by accident. Laramie, my wife, we were teachers. We had assumed that we were both just going to be teachers for 35 years or whatever, and that was going to be our whole lives. And then she got pregnant with the twins, and she wasn't able to work for a bit, and we needed extra money, and writing was just a thing that I sort of accidented my way into, making, you know, $15, $20 per blog post or something goofy like that. And things just sort of took off. I got lucky a few times in my career. Probably most notably is when I ended up on Bill Simmons' radar, because he was really the one who showed up and was like, "Hey, let's make a career out of this." And once you have that kind of backing, we're talking about maybe the premier sports journalist like of his generation, and a very powerful figure in that space. And he's like, "Hey, let's all sort of christen this guy." It's extremely helpful. Ever since then, you know, we just are trying to make whatever happen.
Well, you're huge in, I've noticed, like in journalism, you want to make sure that there's an equal opportunity for everybody out there. And Kristen and I know a little bit about entering a field as females and trying to pave the way. Can you talk about just your journey in different scholarships that you have made and just the progress moving forward for minorities within journalism?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing that I'm super excited about. I was on the internet one day. I spent all of my days on the internet. And a story got published. It was showing like the figures of minorities in journalism and in publishing. And in both of those camps, Hispanics, Latinos, whatever you want to call them, Latinx, we only comprise 3% of the population for both of those, which I found to be preposterous. Also something that I was like not blind to, because I have been in these rooms pitching ideas or pitching TV shows or movies or docs or whatever. And it's always, you know, primarily white men that I'm sitting across from. And so this is already something that was in my mind. I had met some people in San Antonio who were, they run this organization called the San Antonio Association of Hispanic Journalists. And we had been talking about doing something together. And then this thing popped up and I was like, oh, we should just set up a scholarship. And the people who run that, there's a woman named Krista who I've been going back and forth with. But they're young and they're energetic and they just want to make good stuff happen. And so I just showed up and was like, hey, if I give y'all this money, can y'all make it like a scholarship for me? And they said, yeah, we would love to do that. So we did that. We've got I think by the end of this month is when the applications will open up. This is a scholarship for anybody. It doesn't matter like what school you go to, what your GPA is. I was always terrible in school. none of this, the typical stuff matters. All that matters is that you are Latino or Latina and you want to be in publishing or journalism and, you know, come get this $20,000 we got to give away.
You're also, though, very purposeful about equality and about inclusion. And I was telling Candace that you sent me a direct message a few years ago and asked me, because you wanted to be more involved on the women's basketball side of things, who you should be following, which players, which coaches, which journalists you should be following. My question is, why did that feel so important to you? Candace's question is, why did you not choose to be
exactly?
A
I got a bone
fan.
To pick with you, Shay. Here we go. Listen, I understand that you
could have chosen any team.
Las
and you didn't
Vegas
choose.
Moved from San Antonio, so I understand. But I would like to personally invite you to a game in LA because, you know, I will say, you know, LA you Spark
could,
games.
Yeah, you could
a lot of fun.
Perhaps sway his opinion.
Yeah, we could sway your opinion.
I went to a Sparks game. I went when y'all played the Mercury.
Oh,
and
okay.
I had a fantastic time. Yeah, that was a game when Taurasi sat out.
Okay.
And she still got a technical when she wasn't even
in
the game.
Yeah, I do remember fantastic. That game. That happens a lot.
The DJ that y'all have is incredible.
Yeah, DJ Malski, he's great.
Yeah,
our
he's
games
really,
are a lot of fun.
Really, really funny. I thought he was doing like a very clever thing where whatever player was at the free throw line, he was playing a song.
Yeah,
that was
playing
like
a song. For
kind
the
of making fun of them, but not really. And I was like, this is really... Really a great time. No, you know what? How all of that stuff happened was when the basketball book came out. This was 2017, and I wrote a basketball book, and it was about the NBA. And I mentioned it earlier in the book, you know, this book is basically just a love letter to the NBA. I've grown up watching it, whatever. But I didn't call it NBA and other things. I called it basketball and other things. And there's a writer, really smart writer named Natalie Weiner, and she was like, hey, you're calling this basketball and other things, but you're only talking about the men's side. Like, basketball means all of everybody. And I think my first reaction was to get, like, defensive about it and be like, well, like, I was talking about the NBA, and but you know, that's just what your body does naturally. But I slept on it, and the next morning I woke up, and I was like, this, you know, Natalie's right. This is a blind spot for me. So I reached out to her, and then I reached out to you, Kristen. And I just started, like, you know, trying to learn a little bit about it, figure out what was going on. And the more I got into it, the more fun it became, especially once you start to really learn not just who the players are, but like the backstories into everything. That's what makes basketball so much fun, is the sort of theater of it. So you watch like Liz playing a game and her and Kalani get tangled up, and then it moves over to Twitter and you're just like, oh, this is great. I love this. Now the next time they play each other, I have to be watching this game. Like, you know, that sort of stuff really plays into it in a great deal. So that's how all that stuff happened.
We love it and we appreciate, you know, your support. And obviously, you know, we think basketball is basketball, but it helps to have you on board because I think you bring a lot to it.
Yeah, prominent voices that are part of the ongoing conversation.
Exactly.
Without it feeling forced, because Shay, you are one of those prominent voices, we had several fan submissions for questions. We've listened to them. We've approved
okay.
them. But here is the very first fan question.
Hey, Shay, this is Reggie Miller. I hope all is well. Curious minds want to know, was I your first choice for the forward? Or were you looking at bigger things like, say Michael Jordan? Anyways, it was a pleasure to be part of your book. It's awesome. Love you, brother.
He's
That's
asked
incredible.
Me that, he asked me that several times, though.
I was not impressed with a Reggie Miller voicemail. This is an incredible moment in my life.
He's a fan. Speechless. I love it.
Reggie was the very first person I thought of. I think I mentioned this to you, Chris, when I asked you to help me get in contact with him. But Reggie was the one who, even I'm growing up in San Antonio, we're watching the Spurs. David Robinson is our guy. David Robinson is a very straight line sort of super Christian basketball player. And you're just going to get what you're going to get from him. Reggie, to me, was the first time I watched a player who was, he was running around and he was shoving people and he was talking. And he was doing all of the things that I thought were cool. I thought three-pointers were cool. He was doing that. He was running his mouth. He was all elbows and mouth. That's all that he was. And I just loved it. He was like the real-life version of White Men Can't Jump. and which is my favorite sports movie of all time. And so, yeah, when I thought about doing the basketball book, he was the first one I wanted because he, to me, was the one who just made me fall in love with watching basketball, with playing basketball, really.
Well, the next fan question is an actual fan. I mean, Reggie.
Reggie's an actual fan.
Reggie is a fan. A fan. But this is, it's a fan from the Twitter, which makes me sound way not cool. Okay.
The Twitter.
Roll it.
Hey, Shay Serrano. My name is Devin from New York. And my question to you is, what is the story behind your Twitter profile picture? And what does that picture mean to you? Thanks, and keep up the good work.
You've answered this several times, Shay, yes, for those who follow. But you know what? For those who are listening and who are going to hear this podcast and think, he's somebody I should follow now, why don't you answer it again?
Okay, so the guy that I use as my avatar for Twitter, he's from a movie called Blood In, Blood Out, which is my favorite movie that's ever been made. And the primary conflict he has in this movie is his mother's Mexican-American, his father's white, and he is trying to find acceptance within the Mexican-American community. He goes to live with his cousins, and they're all just sort of, you know, pushing him away, making fun of him for being half white. He can never quite get all the way there. The white people are telling him he's too Mexican to be white. The Mexican people are telling him he's too white to be Mexican. And he's just sort of stuck in between trying to figure this out. And that is something that I have heard my whole life growing up. I grew up in South San Antonio, which is predominantly Hispanic. And that's just like been part of my life story. I imagine anybody at any point in their life has had somebody say, well, you're not enough of this to be that, or you're not enough of that to be this. And it's always like a sucky spot to be in to sort of prove your authenticity or you know, to feel like you're being put to these sort of purity tests. And so that character has just been a big part of, I don't know, what I'm trying to do or what I'm trying to be, it feels like.
Well, and despite that being a very powerful story, you've probably got to at least giggle when you get to real life places and they've printed that photo as a photo of you to draw a crowd. Am I right?
Yeah, that always makes me laugh when people realize that that's not who I am in real life. It's a wonderful moment every single time.
It's always just a little bit of disappointment. Have any players, though, you've mentioned your book, Basketball and Other Things, and I'm not just promoting it because I'm in it, but you've mentioned it several times. Have any of the players reached out to you about what you wrote or how you wrote about them in the book?
I think a couple of them did right when it first came out. Steve Nash posted a thing on, I think, like Instagram or something that was very flattering. I made a comment in there. This is going to sound weird for me without explaining like the full context, but there's a chapter in there where we're basically building a basketball player using parts of basketball players. So like whatever, Steph Curry's jump shot and Shaq's strength, or, you know, stuff like that. And there's a section in there where I was talking about what NBA player's penis do you want? And it's like a very jokey thing, but I mentioned JJ Redick's in there, and then he mentioned it to me on Twitter, and that was like, oh, I forgot. I didn't realize people were going to actually read this.
Yeah, I did not think to have to answer to this man about what I have said of his anatomy.
Well, I mean, you look at your Twitter, you have, you know, 318,000 followers, and
more now that you've been on this.
More now, because
there will be more.
Kristen was in your book, and so I'm sure that.
No,
that's
I didn't
least...
say because I was in the book.
Okay, I said that
earlier. What I'm saying now is because he's on this podcast.
Okay,
well, that's because of you.
Anyway, we were talking about how Twitter has impacted our life and the way that we follow sports, and how the NBA has done a phenomenal job of allowing fans to be in touch with players and, you know, be a part of it. And so how has Twitter impacted, obviously we see how it impacts you and your career and your books and things like that, but how do you see Twitter impacting the NBA in years to come?
Well, I think it's just becoming a sort of 24-hour event now. Like, you have just constant access, it feels like, to the biggest players in the world, be it through Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever. And sometimes that becomes perhaps a bigger story than the games that are even being played. Like, one of the best things to have happened is like a cool highlight happens. I was watching this Spurs game the other night, and DeMar DeRozan has this incredible dunk, just right in your mouth. It's an and one dunk, and then he gets a technical for taunting. They're playing in Toronto. It's great. And as soon as it happened, I was like, oh, I wonder what they're going to say about this on Twitter. And it's just become like a part of the viewing experience. And it makes everything else, you know, 100 times more interesting. Free agency now is 100 times more interesting because it feels like you're following along with it and you're just waiting for that Woj tweet to pop up to like set everything on fire.
Sources say.
Yes. Yeah. It's like just, it just makes it more fun to me.
I love
that. Let you be a part of it.
Well, I love, though, that your social media community is, it's all the best parts of Twitter. Like, it's not the negative, it's the positive. It's an entire army you've created, which by our count has raised, is that right, $300,000 for different charitable causes and those people who need it?
Yeah, we're up there. Wow. We're a little higher than that now. We did like 50,000 in December alone, which I was really, really proud of.
Man, what though does that community mean to you? And how do you build something so positive in a place that can be known solely for its negativity?
Well, to answer the second part of the question first here, I think that that just has happened with me. Again, all of this stuff is by accident, but basically all of the writing that I'm doing is a celebration of a thing that I enjoy. You know, we just had the movie book. It's just a bunch of movies. I just want to write about movies that I like. I wrote a thing about The Office. It was like 10 essays just because I like The
Office.
That
was my favorite, like, by the way. That's my favorite project of yours, besides the basketball book.
So all of this stuff is like, I don't want to spend a bunch of time writing about things that I don't like or don't enjoy. I wrote a profile on Candace because she was like one of the most interesting players in the league to me. I was like, oh, this is a person I would like to hang out with and like write a thing about her. I don't want to tear stuff down. It just seems counterproductive to me if I like have the space and time to do a thing. So I think you do enough of that and then people just sort of respond in kind. And, so we have that part of it. And then also I'm very open about any sort of political beliefs I have or like cultural beliefs or whatever. It's all out there. So everybody who shows up sort of knows for the most part what they're signing up for.
But I just think that from what I'm getting, you know, from obviously everything you write about, basketball is your love, but you pay it forward in a sense of you would like to see things equal in journalism and sports and everything like that. But also in terms of recognizing, I mean, to me, it was a huge impact to recognize you wrote a basketball book and then you recognized, okay, women need to be included in this and we need to make this more important. And so I just think that, you know, this isn't a question. It's more of just like a comment on just the positivity that you're bringing to things. You're spinning Twitter from negative to positive. So just want to say from an athlete, we appreciate that.
Oh, that means a lot. Thank you very much.
All right. We've got one last fan question for you. This one, I think that a lot of people would find very interesting.
Hey, Shay, this is Billy Boy Hoops from Minnesota. Love your books. You've got a book about basketball and a book about movies. So who would be your starting five of basketball movie characters?
Now, you've written things that are similar. You've drafted characters. But if you had to pick a starting five, who'd you pick?
I'm just building I'm building a team. Well, I need a point guard. So we're going to go with Lola Bunny.
I like that a lot.
Yes.
Lola Bunny, well, she's like 4 feet tall, but she could dunk, which is like, that's great. That's great athleticism right there. Yeah. and she stared down aliens. So she's got bunny.
Yeah, she's funny.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. So we got Lola Bunny. Give me, I mentioned Above the Rim. Give me Woody and Wesley there. Sidney Dean and Billy Ho. Give me those two as my guards. I need a power forward and a center. For my center, I'm going to go with, there's a movie called Bedazzled, and it stars Brendan Fraser.
Yes, wow. That is the best movie ever. Yes.
Okay, great.
With all the cliches in his interview, that is like the best. Yes, okay.
Yeah, give me that guy, because he scored over 100 points that game. He had over 40.
But there's no
pounds.
I in team.
Yeah. Give me that guy. And then for power forward, you know, I'm going to go small. I'm going to do like a very 2019 NBA team. And I feel like I should take Shuttlesworth here, Ray Allen broke my heart in 2013 when he stole the championship from my beloved Spurs. So he's out. And in his place, I'm going to take a Anthony Hardaway from Blue Chips.
That's a good one.
I need a tall one who can shoot.
And it can count.
I like that.
You could have taken Candace.
I mean, you could have taken LeBron. Yeah, I could have taken, well, I don't know if Thunderstruck was on the top movies. Right. But if it was, then I feel.
She was in Thunderstruck. Like, did you know that?
You should have.
I did know that. Included. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but he knew it.
I didn't want to feel like I was sucking up. I already said the nice thing earlier.
That's about true. I was expecting, I was thinking Shaq maybe as your center and from Blue Chip. The other one was like Bow Wow. I mean, Bow Wow with his sneakers. Only with the sneakers.
I think Shaq is getting tore up by Brendan Fraser, honestly.
Yeah. I think so too.
Like Neon wasn't, he wasn't ready for, I mean, Brendan Fraser's being controlled by the devil. That's a powerful thing.
We couldn't let you go though, because this was the perfect segue from your favorite characters, or at least characters that could start on a basketball team.
Apparently I'm out.
Into the movie book and the book tour that you've been on as well. We've got to let you plug your stuff. Tell us a little bit more about the book for those who are being introduced to you and your work for the first time.
The movie book is called Movies and Other Things. Every chapter in the movie book is just a question that needs to be answered. Some of them are like about one specific movie. Like, there's a movie called The League of Their Own, one of my favorite baseball movies.
That's the best.
In the movie, they make a trade. They trade their pitcher, the Rockford Peaches do. Yes. So the question for that chapter is like, did they make the right decision trading Kit?
Yes.
I love that.
And then some of the other chapters, the questions are like about full genres of movie. Like if we're talking about our favorite scenes from gangster movies, you know, The Irishman is out and it just got nominated for 10 Oscars. So it's like, what's the order of the gangster movie moments, fictional draft or whatever. Basically, we're just talking about all of gangster movies. And that's how all of the chapters work. It's not like it's not a history of movies. This is just, again, let me celebrate some movies I like. Let me talk a little bit about them for 90,000 words or whatever. Here we are.
Well, thank you so much, Shay, for taking the time to join us. We love your work. And we also love that you've continued to support and promote ours. It means a lot.
Yeah, yeah. The podcast has been great. I was really excited when y'all announced it, and y'all have been strong every week. So kudos to y'all.
Thank you so much.
We've added to it here. Thank you, Shay.
Yeah, we've definitely added to it.
All right, y'all. Thank you.
Thank you.
So sticking with the theme, the NBA Twitter show. Let's talk hypotheticals.
Okay.
Twitter started back in 2006. The NBA joined Twitter in 2009. That was the same year I did. Do you remember when you joined?
Oh my gosh, I remember when I joined Twitter.
What year was it?
It was in 2009.
Right. It was like a wave of everyone at once.
And I didn't really understand it. I remember
Neither
being very
I.
skeptical. Like, I don't get this, but okay.
I remember thinking, why in the world would anybody care about my status updates throughout any given day?
See, I remember Twitter and I remember Instagram. Like, I was very hesitant about Instagram. I'm like, so you put a picture
I
with
felt
your...
the same way.
So you put a picture with your status? Like, I just got used to Twitter.
Right.
I felt very old.
And so now the general public will get to see just these areas
but
of
I
my
But I will
life
tell you, Kristen, that... I was very thankful we did not have Twitter or Instagram in college.
Okay, well...
Facebook had just come out, but it wasn't for the old people yet. It was only for college. You had to have a .edu
right.
to have Facebook.
I actually waited until I got my Florida State email address because I was so excited now I could get a Facebook.
I was excited about Facebook because there were no parents allowed. Yeah.
Let's though stick with the theme and let me ask you, what are some of the players or even one player of the past that you wish had tweeted through it?
I was the biggest. And they say you should never meet your idol, but like I met him because my brother got drafted to Philly. Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
Was my like... I had posters all over. I wore the little finger band. I had like the bad as I want to be poster in my... If he would have had a Twitter, I just feel like all of us would have been extremely entertained.
Okay. How do you think the perception of him perhaps...
I don't think it would have changed.
Right. Yeah, he seemed to be entirely
I think he
himself.
Really was himself.
We would have just seen more of it.
I personally would have wanted to hear what he had to say on Twitter when David Stern had the dress code enacted. I would have wanted Allen Iverson to tweet.
Right, his response.
Exactly.
His immediate response. Mm-hmm. Because then it was, you had to wait for the media to gather around again and to put a microphone in your face. And many had already prepared an answer by then.
Exactly.
Whereas Twitter is the immediate reaction.
It's sometimes, have you ever tweeted and then like you erase it? Because you're like, nah.
I've typed things
that's
out.
That's what I mean.
Like, but you, then I have not.
That's what I mean. I mean,
right.
You like type it out, but then you erase it because you're like, okay, that feels better, but I'm not going to
yes.
put it out there.
I've never tweeted and deleted anything that
yeah.
I've tweeted.
Never
I thought,
have I.
You know what? This is
yeah, your true feelings.
What I said. And I'm going to own what I said.
Because it's not really ever deleted.
No,
like people realize that,
saw
right?
it. Like, well, sometimes when there's a typo, I'll delete it immediately, but then still people see.
Oh,
and then
you deleted
you're
it.
Right.
Oh.
No, but I've never deleted something that I've said and thinking, you know what? I'm not going to stand by that any longer. I'm not going to own
true.
That. Which is why I'm taking it a little further back. The player I wish had had Twitter throughout the entirety of his career, solely because I work with him every week, and his name is a trending topic in one of the top two or three,
yeah,
week in and week out, just based on what he's saying about the current game, is Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller would have been an amazing follow.
Right. Because now I think that he may censor himself a little bit because of the job that we do, because of his responsibility as an analyst when it comes to his social media. And we get a chance to see him as a father and as a cyclist. But if I could have gotten some immediate responses to some of his feelings throughout his career.
If we could have had a Twitter beef between him and Spike right after the New York game.
If they could have immediately responded instead of us waiting for a documentary 15 years later.
Exactly. I feel the same way.
Yeah, why not?
What iconic moment would you have wanted on Twitter? Like hashtag NBA Twitter?
Well,
what iconic moment?
Sticking with Reggie then, we were just talking about this days ago that his hand had been broken, a very similar injury to the one that Joel Embiid just suffered, a very similar surgery as well, which is why you see him on the sidelines of the Malice at the Palace when those guys are going wild and he's got a cast on his hand. That was the reason for it. I would have loved to follow NBA Twitter throughout that moment. A moment that undoubtedly gave the league a black eye for several years. However, had we had immediate responses, had the fans, had the public been able to respond throughout it, maybe the perception would have been a little different.
Maybe it would have been different. I had Malice in the Palace as mine.
Is that
as
what
well.
You wrote down?
But I'm going to go a little step further and say I would have wanted to be in the locker room with Shaq and Kobe. Like I would have wanted... After Kobe took like four or five games of taking over 30 shots, I would have wanted Shaq to like reply something or drop some Twitter knowledge.
Immediately.
Exactly. Like I would have wanted to be a part of that because I think even like the trade rumors, like when Kobe was almost rumored going to Chicago and all those things, I think those two guys yeah. would have, they have too big of egos.
No, they would have tweeted through it.
Of course.
They would
and Phil Jackson would have came on there and just said some stuff.
Always tweet
the Zen
through it.
Would have yeah. said something funny. It would have been great.
It's time for the fan mailbag. Earlier in the podcast, our guest, Shea Serrano, answered some fan questions, so we wanted to get in on the fun as well. I've been told that Reggie Miller did not have a question for us, but perhaps we'll top it. Roll the first one.
Hey, Kristen and Candace. This is Catherine from Milledgeville, Georgia. You've both been at some big-time games throughout your careers. My question for you is, what major sporting event would you like to attend that you haven't yet?
That's a great question.
It is a great question.
I can honestly say, and 10 years ago, as I made an actual bucket list of sporting events to go to, I think that at this point I may have been to what I wanted to be at. I've been at the NBA Finals and a college football national championship, the Masters. I wanted to go to the Masters so badly. So I think more so something like an event that I could get dressed up for. Are you following?
I know where this is going.
Yep. Where it's going to the Kentucky Derby is where it's going.
You're and I already a big hat.
Yes, that's what I want.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
Kentucky
Come
Derby.
With me to the Derby and then what else? Yeah.
I would like the Australian Open.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go down under, first of all, because I want to like, I've been there, but I want to go back
yeah.
as an adult. And tennis is something that I have liked to follow. And I would like to go there before Serena, hopefully before Serena.
Ooh, yeah,
retires.
I like that. Okay, I'll go with you to that. You come with me to the Derby.
Do you have to wear a hat?
Yes, you have to. It's part of the whole.
Mer.
All right, roll the next one.
What's up, guys? This is Cameron from California. Kristen, Candace, what is the funniest fan interaction you've ever experienced?
Funny haha. Like,
or you can, you know what? You can either be laughing with them or at them, Candace.
And sometimes you don't know.
Yeah, there's
when right. you're doing when you're laughing, yeah. you don't know which one it is.
Yeah.
For me, I think my height is like something that people think that they just come up with and they're the first ones to think of.
Oh, I can imagine because I get it for my height and you're several inches taller than I am.
6'4". Yeah. And so walking through the airport, it's, wow, you're tall, which is like the normal. And then there's like those that think they come up with like new Miss Parker from Friday. And they think they're the very first ones that think of that. So I have to give the courtesy laugh. And then there's like the, you're a tall glass of water. So it's just, it's.
I'm sorry I said tall, that to you the first time we met.
You did yes. say that.
So is it safe to say your funniest and saddest fan interaction was with me?
It was also the start of a great friendship. So look at the positive of that.
See, I'm glad I put myself out there.
It's okay.
Because here we are.
So what about you, Kristen? I know you've had some interesting fan interaction.
I have. I think the funniest, I don't even remember what city we were in, but Grant Hill and I had just finished taping inside stuff somewhere on location, and we're on our way back to the hotel. And one of the guys that was standing outside of the hotel, this was during an All-Star weekend, had several articles of Michigan State clothing. He had photos printed out of Steve Smith and was so excited when Grant and I got out of the car that he was finally meeting his hero. Grant looks at me and he says, if he can't tell the difference between, that's on him. And Grant goes and signs every bit of it.
That is the best story because they're the Turner twins.
Yeah.
It's really funny because
I didn't see it.
I don't see it either. But I will say I was in, I believe it was San Antonio, walking down the street with Smitty, and they all were yelling out, Grant Hill, Grant Hill. And like,
what? He played in San Antonio.
Exactly. And that's what, but it's funny when, you know, you use it similar to how Grant used the whole like opposite thing.
Rendering all of that memorabilia useless.
Like Smitty got in a cab one time and was just like, yeah, I'm Grant Hill.
I would do that too.
So, I mean, we go with it.
I've name dropped both Grant and Smitty exactly. more times than
Turner
I can
twins.
Count for my own benefit. All right. That's all the time that we have for the fan mailbag.
I enjoyed those. Those are good questions.
I love those.
Yeah, you guys got to keep sending in your questions to @NBA on TNT on all platforms.
That's right. And speaking of the NBA on TNT, we're not dropping a new episode next week, but you can catch NBA action all day long Monday, MLK Day, on both TNT and NBA TV. And we'll see you guys after that.